Welcome back to the Below Average Joe's MMA show. We are finally back after a week off following UFC 300. There was a PFL event last week. The third installment of part one of their regular season came to a close. It was welterweights and featherweights. So all three of those events have happened. We now wait until June for the second part of the regular season to commence. But with last week in the past, we now get into another stretch of UFC events, and it starts at the Apex this Saturday night, a flyweight top 10 main event between number 5 ranked Matheus Nicolau and number 8 ranked Alex Perez. Big stakes at this one. The flyweight division's been a little stale the past few months. There hasn't been as much movement, but we've had a lot of fights get canceled and so on and so forth. But this kind of starts a stretch of some activity, some rankings to be moved. We have 5 versus 8. We have the title fight coming next weekend at UFC 301. So this kind of lull that we've been in will now start to pick up in the 125 men's division. We'll also talk about some other quick hitters on the rest of the UFC Vegas 91 card and a big co-main event fight announcement for International Fight Week, UFC 303, and one other big event the UFC just announced for the European fans. So with that said, let's hop over to the Apex in Las Vegas, Matheus Nicolau and Alex Perez. After more than a year-long layoff for the 5th-ranked flyweight in the world, Matheus Nicolau, he is back in the octagon this Saturday night for his first UFC main event slot, and he will fight the number 8-ranked flyweight in the world, Alex Perez, who is coming into this fight. Oh, wait, no, not on a year-long layoff. On a month-and-a-half-long layoff, the guy just fought Muhammad Mohaev March 2nd. Quick turnaround, making up for lost time. We'll talk about this calendar that Alex Perez has had over the past couple of years and why he may be hopping right back in quicker than we're normally used to in the flyweight division. He's hungry for his second UFC title shot. Alex Perez fought on Dana White Contender Series August 8th of 2017. He got a submission in the first round, which earned him a UFC contract. And between that day in the fall of 2017 and November 21st of 2020, he had 9 fights within the UFC promotion. Since then, he's fought 2 times, July 30th of 2022, and just as I said in the intro, March 2nd of this very year, 2024. And in that 9-fight stretch where Alex Perez fought on the Contender Series and came into the UFC, he got a record of 7 wins to only 2 losses. The only losses were to Joseph Benavidez, a former multi-time title challenger in this division, and one of the best flyweights of all time, Davison Figueiredo. That was in November of 2020 in a title shot opportunity for Perez. He had become, at the time, the first ever Contender Series alum to challenge for the title. Now, we have since seen 2 Contender Series alum not only challenge for a UFC belt, but become champion, Jamal Hill and Sean O'Malley. Sean O'Malley still currently the bantamweight champion at 135 pounds. Now, from that November 2020 title losing effort from Alex Perez until present day, he has had 9 canceled fights in that time against 5 different flyweight opponents, a very rough stretch these past few years. And that is definitely why he's turning around quickly following his loss last month to Muhammad Mohaev. He did not take a lot of damage in that fight. You could even make an argument he squeaked out a decision in that fight, which would have gave Mohaev his first ever professional loss. However, the judges did not see it that way. Mohaev remains undefeated, and Alex Perez has now lost 3 straight fights. His last victory was June 6th of 2020 in a TKO finish over Jussier Formiga. Now, Perez is only 32 years old. There is still time to make up ground. He's right in that prime portion of most fighters' careers. Now, he is at 125 pounds. It gets a little tougher the lower you go in these weight classes, the older that you get. But for now, and especially after that performance against a very dangerous and elite-level skilled Mohaev, you can say there's plenty of gas still in the tank of Perez. There's plenty still to offer. This would be a big get right moment to put his name back into the hat of title contention status and crack in to the top five. And for the fifth ranked Matheus Nicolau, he came into the UFC in November of 2015, all nearly 9 years ago. He amassed a record of 3-1. He lost to Dustin Ortiz in July of 2018 and then was released or left the promotion. I can't quite remember at that time why he was all of a sudden out of the UFC. He had a brief two-fight stint in other organizations. In May, in Future FC, he got a victory of 2019. And in August of 2019, in Brave, he also picked up a victory, which led him to return to the UFC a year and a half later, March of 2021. And it would start a four-fight UFC win streak over Manel Kopp, Tim Elliott, David Dvorak, and Matt Schnell. That last win over Schnell being a knockout victory in the second round. Those were four straight top 15 level opponents that Nicolau beat en route to then earning a shot to fight Brandon Raw Dog Royval last April. And if Nicolau had won that fight and made it five straight victories over five ranked opponents, many could say, and the argument was all for Nicolau if we're talking the next title shot in 2023. But that's not quite how it turned out. Raw Dog got a knockout just over 2 minutes in to the first round of their fight. And as we know, that victory would make it three straight for Raw Dog and earned him a fight against Alexandre Pantoja for the flyweight championship last December. He did lose the decision and since bounced back in February of this year by beating Brandon Moreno. So he's very much still in the title picture. We know that Pantoja next weekend is defending for the second time his flyweight title. This time will be against Steve Ursig. So Nicolau here is looking to bounce back, make it 5 out of 6 in this recent stretch of UFC fights, his second tenure of fights with the promotion here. And this would be a big bounce back to beat a former title challenger, to beat a Dana White Contender Series alum, to beat a top 10 ranked opponent. Nicolau's resume is quickly becoming unarguable. If you look at the rest of the top five or the top 10 of the flyweight division, there aren't a ton of people that have built a resume like Nicolau, and especially in such a short amount of time, and what will just be a little over 3 years if he does get the victory here over Alex Perez. So don't sleep on this fight. We love flyweights getting their shine and getting main event opportunities. This is a good spot for it here. You have 5 versus 8, a guy that's been here for a while, really, if you want to look at Nicolau dating back almost 9 years, versus Perez, the Contender Series guy who has climbed higher than that of which Nicolau has, even though he's been here a shorter amount of time, but he's faltered in the biggest moments. Really, you can say both of these guys have faltered when it mattered most. A 3-fight win streak, and then Nicolau lost and had to leave the UFC. A 4-fight win streak, and then he loses to Royval and misses out on a potential title shot opportunity in 2023. And if we look at Perez, faltered in his biggest moment when he fought Joseph Benavidez, and then in a title fight against Davison Figueiredo when he got submitted. Stakes are on the line. Contendership is on the line. That's what you want out of main events. You don't just want some random, oh, they're top 15, so let's throw them in a main event slot because they're ranked. No, you want something at stake. You want storylines. That's what I build this podcast over or around, is the storylines. The X's and O's are great. Both these guys are insanely well-rounded. Nicolau is one of the most intelligent level fighters, if we're talking fight IQ in the flyweight division. Perez is a very well-rounded guy that has great grappling, trains or at least has trained before with Team Alpha Male. He's finished people with leg kicks. He has heavy hands. He has submissions to his name. A jack of all trades, if you will. So I like this clash here. You mix that in with what is at stake, what is on the line, how did these guys get to this spot, and it makes for a very good main event. 125 pounds is on the showcase spot 2 weeks in a row for the UFC. It starts this weekend in Vegas and next weekend for the title in Brazil. So let me know in the comments below who you think will win this number 5 versus number 8 ranked matchup in the flyweight division and what you think could come next for the big winner before we talk about that in our recap show later on after the weekend comes to a close. And now we'll get into the rest of the UFC Vegas 91 card because, yeah, it's not the most stacked card ever, especially when you see that we're coming off of UFC 300. But this card has some sleepers and some bangers and a plethora of ranked fighters. Number 11 ranked Ryan Superman Spann is back for the first time since August of 2023. He looks to end his two-fight skid by taking on Bogdan Guskov. These two combined for 7 decisions out of a whopping 48 professional fights. I look for this to end pretty quickly. Honestly, I don't even see it going out of the second round. You look at a guy like Guskov who's been to 1 decision in 18 fights. He's kill or be killed. He debuted last September, got submitted by Volkan Oezdemir. Volkan Oezdemir is not known for submitting people. And then he bounced back already this year in February and knocked out Zach Palga in 3.5 minutes. Ryan Superman Spann is coming off of a razor close split decision loss to Anthony Smith. And prior to that, he got submitted in March of last year against Nikita Krylov. But before this skid, had won 3 out of 4 fights, including finishes over Dominic Reyes, Jan Kudalaba, and Misha Cirkunov. Ryan Spann at 32 years old is a just freak athlete. You look at his physique in the cage, you look at his finishing prowess, 6 knockouts, 12 submissions, a guy that can get it done everywhere, but just can't quite seem to put it all together in those biggest moments. And I feel like the potential is there. There was a time when he was on that 3 out of 4 fights when he was getting victories where he said he was finally starting to focus and train full time. And it looked like he was starting to turn that corner. But then we see him here on this 2-fight skid. He's still only 32 years old. He has time, especially in a light heavyweight division that is by far not the most stacked division in the UFC. But this will not be easy to get the win, you know, get back into that win column, get back on the right track, because Guskov is dangerous. 15 victories, 15 finishes, 13 of them are by knockout. Again, this fight's not going to last long. Do not blink. Guskov could enter the light heavyweight rankings. Superman Spann can end his win streak and hold his spot at number 11. The featured bout of the evening features number 12 ranked women's flyweight Ariane Lipsky versus number 13 ranked Karine Silva, probably the most underrated fight of the weekend. Ariane Lipsky is by far on the best stretch of her UFC career, winning 4 of her last 5 in 3 straight over JJ Aldrich, Melissa Gatto, and a submission victory over Casey O'Neill that came in December of 2023. That win over O'Neill earned Lipsky her chance to enter into the top 15, but now she'll look to hold that spot against a very dangerous Karine Silva. Karine Silva has 21 professional fights and only gone the distance 1 time. All 17 of her victories are by finish. Both these ladies are very exciting fighters, especially on the side of Silva. This is going to be fun. The number 13 ranked Silva entered the Contender Series octagon in October of 2021, got a submission, and has rallied off 3 straight wins, is 3-0 in the UFC. Her biggest win was a submission last August over Marina Moroz. Silva has not lost a fight since May of 2019, making her win streak now 8 in a row, and she will look to make it 9 by finishing Ariane Lipsky and approaching top 10 in the women's 125-pound division. Two ladies that have quickly made themselves very prominent in this very fast-moving, you know, probably best division going right now if we're talking ladies divisions in the UFC, 125-pound women's flyweights. And if you go down this card top to bottom, there should be one fight that stands out to you and scream fight of the night, and that is Jonathan JSP Pierce taking on David the Silent Assassin Onama, one of my favorite fighters in the UFC and especially in the featherweight division. David Onama has yet to be in a boring fight since coming into the UFC when he fought Mason Jones in October of 2021. That fight with Jones was an insane back and forth fight for 15 minutes, and his other decision in the UFC was against Nate the Train Landwehr, and it was an all-timer if we're talking UFC fight nights. And other than that, David Onama is 3-0 with three finishes. He's knocked out Gabriel Benitez, who is competing on this very same card. He submitted Garrett Armfield and knocked out Gabriel Santos last July. So this is Onama's first fight in close to a year. What would that be? About 9-ish months. And Jonathan Pierce coming in off of a loss to Joe Anderson Brito that happened last November, but before that was on a very good stretch. He had won five fights in a row with three finishes before Brito put a stop to that momentum. Jonathan Pierce was another Contender Series alum who fought in the 2019 season three edition of Contender Series, but he did lose his Octagon debut that same October against Joe Lauzon, a seasoned veteran who's fought so many different times against so many different opponents in the UFC, but that was before he tallied off the five-fight win streak. Will JSP be able to get back on track? He's a dangerous, dangerous fighter. Four decisions and 19 total fights. David Onama's been to two decisions and 13 fights. I'm telling you guys, there is violence on this card. There are some bangers on this card. Don't let the name value fool you. What matters most is the action that we see inside the cage, and these matchups scream action. And now that we are done with the UFC Vegas 91 discussion, we will hop into the fight announcement slash news portion of the show. And newsflash, we have a new fight announcement since the intro of this podcast episode was created. So I'm going to talk about that one first and then transition into the originally recorded news. And that fight announcement is the UFC Louisville main event going down June 8th, Louisville, Kentucky. We will have a top 10 middleweight showcase at the top of the bill as the number 4 ranked 185-pounder Jared Cannonier will be coming back to face the number 8 ranked Nassourdine Imavov. Cannonier has won 3 of his last 4 fights, with the only loss coming in a 2022 International Fight Week championship performance against Israel Adesanya, and ever since then he has tallied off 2 straight wins over Sean Strickland, and most recently in June of last year, Marvin Vettori. So just under a full year away from the Octagon, Jared Cannonier will step back in and look to make it 3 straight wins. And the number 8 ranked Imavov is coming in off of a February of 2024 victory over Roman Dolidze, so he will look to make it 2-0 in the new year thus far, get the biggest win of his career, and crack into the middleweight top 5 for the first time in the organization. We also got announced today the return of Dominic Reyes. He will be taking on Dustin Jacoby at that UFC Louisville main event as well. So that card is beginning to take shape up here in the Midwest. And now that we are done with this new development here on Thursday when I'm recording this, I will hop back in to the original recording where we would talk about the UFC 303 co-main event, and the UFC 304 location has been announced for Across the Pond. Jamahal Hill will be making a quick turnaround from his losing effort at UFC 300 in the title shot main event against Alex Pereira, and he is going to be fighting in the co-main event of UFC 303. He's now ranked number 3, and he's taking on the number 8 ranked Khalil Roundtree. Khalil Roundtree has won 5 straight fights with 4 knockouts, none bigger than his knockout over Anthony Smith last December. Khalil Roundtree is in it to win it, folks. He's in the best stretch of his career, and he is now getting the biggest opportunity of his career thus far. A co-main event on a Conor McGregor fight card, on a pay-per-view card, I should say, and he's fighting a former champion, number 3 ranked Jamahal Hill. Khalil Roundtree wins here and makes it 6 in a row. He's all but guaranteed to be next for a title. Again, I don't know what they're going to do between Pereira and Magomed Ankalaev. I'm assuming that's what's next, so that's why I say Khalil Roundtree should be next if he gets a victory, but it will not come easy. Jamahal Hill looking to remain active coming off of a year and a half long layoff nearly from his ruptured Achilles. It didn't start very good, the comeback. He lost in the title shot effort to Alex Pereira in just, 3 minutes, I think, before the knockout occurred. Interesting that he's going to be turning around in what will be, let's see, April 13th to May 13th, May 13th to June 13th, and then this card is June 29th. So yeah, this is 2.5 months it will be by the time this fight happens from his knockout loss to Pereira. That is a little worrisome, I think it's just something you have to keep in mind as we near this fight on June 29th. But it's a big time bout, 3 versus 8, title shots on the line, career perspectives and relevancy in the top 10 of the light heavyweight division is on the line. And it's a great co-main event to Conor McGregor versus Michael Chandler. And lastly, as of this morning on Wednesday, April 24th is when I am recording this, the UFC announced their return to Manchester, England. They will be debuting in a brand new arena in Manchester, England. It's the largest indoor arena in the United Kingdom. It goes down Saturday, July 27th, UFC 304. It is a numbered event. It is a pay-per-view event. And I think a lot of people are speculating the return of Tom Aspinall and his interim championship could be defended, I guess. And many people are thinking Leon Rocky Edwards, will be back to defend his welterweight title against Bilal Muhammad. A rematch many years in the making now. Some animosity and some funkiness went down in that first fight that ended in a no contest due to eye pokes on the side of Leon Edwards giving that to Bilal Muhammad. So there are plenty of storylines there. If that is the two-fight doubleheader in Manchester, England, then we are in for a treat, and the UK fans are definitely in for a treat, except for the fact that they are going to be fighting at 11 p.m. local time, which means the main card will end around 5 or 6 a.m. local time. I really feel for the UK fans there. That definitely has to hurt. However, the card itself should be very, very good. We could even see the return of Paddy Pimblett as well. I look for the past few years, the UFC has not been playing around when it comes to going to the UK. I look forward to be much of the same in 2024. So that is it for today's episode. I hope you guys enjoyed. Be sure to follow the show on all of your favorite platforms, including social media, TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. Subscribe on the YouTube channel if you like short form, more edited versions. A video, obviously, on YouTube as well. And you can follow on your favorite audio listening platforms such as Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Give the show a rating while you're there as it helps the show grow. Any and all support is greatly appreciated. Enjoy the fights this weekend. Have a great weekend, and I will catch you on Monday when we recap all of the action.